Let us pray. In the words of my lips and the meditations of all of our hearts, be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. Well, welcome to this special liturgical holy day known as Super Bowl Sunday. Apparently, Bill is cheering for Philadelphia because did you notice the name of the song? On Eagle's Wings. No use fighting it. Many of us are focused on football today, I can tell. And I am kind of cheering for Philadelphia, I have to admit, because I'm just kind of sick of New England always winning. But we won't go into that now. I also heard about this young guy who really is in a very difficult situation. He bought two tickets for the Super Bowl today, and then he realized he was supposed to get married today at the same time, so he realizes he can't go. It's out of the question. So if you're interested and want to go instead of him, here's the relevant information. It's at St. Peter's Cathedral in New York City. Her name's Louise, and she'll be wearing a white dress. Of course, even pastors can get caught up in the Super Bowl fever. I heard about this one United Methodist Church where it was a time to collect the offering, and the minister, who was a real sports enthusiast, reached into his pocket, took out a quarter, flipped it into the air, glanced at it as it landed on the floor, and then in typical referee fashion, he said, "The ushers will receive." Get it? Yeah, I thought it was pretty good. Well, enough about football. Our scripture for today says this, says that everyone is searching for Jesus. There's this couple in Ohio who thought they saw the image of Jesus in the wood grain of a door they had at their house, and they thought it was really special, and so when they moved, they took that piece of wood with them to another house, and they kept it because it was kind of encouraging to them. And then when the devastating tsunami hit Japan a few years back, they chose to share that striking image with the world because, once again, they thought it would encourage others. And the interesting thing is that 41% of the people who responded to an online poll concerning this image claimed that they saw Jesus too. However, the wife of this person who claimed he saw Jesus claims that she saw the Virgin Mary in that thing too, and 6% of the people who responded also saw Mary in that same image. Of course, the interesting thing is we can see things that we want to see. And there was also this one lady down in Florida who said she saw Jesus in a potato chip. Any of you ever saw Jesus in anything, like your toast or something? Well, my guess is that we see what we want to see. And our deepest yearning of all is what? To see Jesus. Our deepest yearning is to have a relationship with God, to encounter God. And so in our search for meaning, our eyes pick up patterns that while pretty random, seem to reveal God's presence. And that gives us peace. And it gives us hope. And we want the world then to know what we've seen. It's also a reminder of just how popular Jesus still remains in our secular world today. Have you ever noticed how often that Jesus appears on the cover of popular magazines? Someone once asked a religion reporter for the Washington Post why that was, and his answer was that every time Jesus is on the cover of one of these magazines, the sales go up. Jesus is commercially attractive. He is still popular with lots of folks. Folks who aren't really like you and me, who do believe in Christianity, who come to church. He was also popular, of course, when he first began his ministry over 2,000 years ago. The scene we have in our lesson from the Gospel of Mark today takes place at the house of Simon Peter, where Jesus heals Simon Peter's mother-in-law. I don't know if you've ever thought about the disciples of Jesus having families or not, but here's evidence that they did have families. Jesus heals Simon Peter's mother-in-law, and it kind of made me kind of laugh and wonder, here's this outspoken Simon Peter, and I wonder what kind of son-in-law he actually was, and what his mother-in-law thought when he took off and followed Jesus. But nevertheless, after reporting the healing of Peter's mother-in-law, the writer of the Gospel of Mark says this: that evening after sunset, the people brought to Jesus all the sick and demon-possessed. The whole town, Mark says, gathered at the door. Think of that. The whole town gathered at the door. I guess this is what the first century equivalent of a flash mob, I think. They didn't communicate by Facebook or Twitter or Snapchat. They had to do it the old-fashioned way, person to person. But it worked. And the whole town gathered at his door. Everyone wanted to see Jesus. A little further on, we read, in the morning, while it was still very dark, Jesus got up, went to a deserted place, and there he prayed. And Simon and his companions went to look for him. When they found him, what did they say? Everyone is searching for you. I don't know how to say it without sounding like a platitude or cliche, but I believe that even today, people everywhere are still looking for Christ. They may not know his name. They might use religious symbols and terminology that differ from what we use, but they are searching for Christ all the same. For one thing, everybody you see needs meaning in their lives, don't we? We all need meaning. We all need purpose. Everyone needs something to believe in, something to guide them. Otherwise, they just wake up one day and realize that nothing in life makes sense. It's like a man I heard about who filled his car with gas, self-service gas station, got back in his car, took off, then he realized he had left the gas cap on the top of his hood, and so he stopped, checked, sure enough, it had fallen off. But he thought, well, you know what, I bet a lot of other people have done the same thing, so he kind of retraced his steps and got out of the car and went looking to see if he could find his gas cap. Well, he didn't find his, but he found a different one, picked it up, cleaned it off a little bit, popped it, clicked it right into place, and got back in the car, and he told his wife as he got back, and he said, I may have lost my gas cap, but I found another one that fits, and it's even a better gas cap than I have, because you see, it locks. Well, that's great until the next time he needs gas. What good is a locking gas cap without a key? Point, of course, is this. Like the man with that locked gas tank, many people, the secret of life, you know, see, is locked up to them, and they have no key. To them, nothing makes sense. Life is simply one thing after another, after another, after another, and then we die. Years pass by quickly. Many of us have no idea what we're even here for. We feel lost. Where can we turn? What is the direction our lives are supposed to go? Well, there's only one person, of course, that we need to turn to, and that, of course, is Jesus. And when we turn to Jesus, we discover our purpose, our sense of direction. Second thing we find in Jesus is that we find someone that we can follow. Jesus is the leader. Christ not only points the way, but he goes the way. He leads the way ahead of us. Of course, he is the way. There's a true story that comes out of World War II. It was a platoon of American soldiers that were stranded on one side of a minefield that they needed to cross, and the commander of the platoon came up with a plan that one man would walk across ahead and all the rest of the platoon would follow. If he happens to hit a mine, then somebody else would start walking, and hopefully they would all get across safely in the end. And the young soldiers, of course, their hearts were in their throats, but they agreed to the plan. However, they wondered who was going to get picked to go first across that minefield. And of course, to their surprise, it was their commander who chose to go across first. He insisted on risking his life so that the others might be saved, and he made it across, and everybody else followed, and the whole platoon in the end made it across. That's leadership. That's courage. That's being willing to lay down one's life for others. And of course, that's just what Christ did for us on Golgotha. Not only does Christ point the direction to where we are to go, but he goes before us, giving us the way. Jesus takes the dangerous path. Jesus clears the way for us. But there's one more reason the world longs to see Jesus. And when we follow him, you see, he leads us into a relationship with God. When we follow Jesus, we discover abundant life. Not because we deserve it, but because of what Christ has done for us on Calvary. Those who trust in Jesus and seek to walk in his footsteps are the recipients of abundant and overflowing love and grace. And even though we are imperfect in our service to Christ and humanity, God's love for us and acceptance of us never ceases. It's like a story that Tony Campolo tells, a story set in heaven. St. Peter handles admissions at the pearly gates, according to this story, and then the Apostle Paul acts as the administrator of the celestial kingdom, taking a monthly census of the heaven's inhabitants. Well, something just doesn't add up to them. Every time Paul counts the number of people in heaven, it far exceeds the number that Peter has left in at the pearly gates. So this, of course, mystifies them for quite a while. But finally, one day, Paul runs up to Peter, and he shouts, "Peter, Peter, Peter, I figured out why the numbers don't match. I figure out why there's so many more people in here than you have left into the pearly gates." And Peter's like, "Well, what? What is it?" He says, "It's Jesus. It's Jesus. He keeps sneaking people over the wall." My humor must not be very good today. Jesus offers unlimited grace to all who would trust their lives to him. You might say, just as I do, that you don't deserve God's grace. But you see, that's all right, because you and I are among those who Christ will sneak over the wall. That's what grace is all about. That's why there is meaning to life. That's why there is the one who will never leave us, no matter what our situation or direction in life is. And you see, Jesus calls us to do the exact same thing with everyone we meet. We're all searching for Jesus. We might not all talk about it in the same language, but we all want that love, that grace in our lives. May we find it, and may we share it. Amen.